seated. Now let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us seek the Lord's face earnestly and pray for his blessing upon the ministry of the word today. Let us pray. Loving eternal God and gracious Father, we bow humbly in thy holy presence this Sabbath morning. Lord, we do thank thee for this, the return of thy day, that first day of the week, resurrection day, when the Lord Jesus conquered death and hell and the grave and rose triumphant. And O Lord, we're glad to be in thy house this Lord's Day morning. We know, Lord, it is the Lord's Day. And we pray, our God, that we might be like John on the Isle of Patmos when he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. O gracious God, we pray that we'll be in the spirit of worship this morning. Lord, we ask that thou would remove from our minds the things, Lord, of lesser worth. And, O gracious God, I pray that we might be centered upon thy word and focused upon thy truth. And grant, dear Lord, today that we might hear thy voice. Lord, whether that voice comes to us as a still small voice or the sound of many waters, we pray, our God, that each one of us will be able to say, I heard the voice of the Lord today. Yea, Lord, come and speak to us this day, I pray. For, Lord, we know that when we pray, we, Lord, expect thee to hear us. And now, Lord, when thou dost come and speak to us, we know, Lord, that thou dost expect us then to give ear to thy word. O gracious Lord, we pray thy blessing upon the work and the witness here in Toronto. We pray, Lord, thy blessing upon the congregation. And Lord, do remember all those who need a touch from thyself. They need the touch of the Master's hand. Those, Lord, that are sick and have been laid aside for some time. Those, Lord, that are weak in body. We pray, Lord, that thou will be their strength. And then, Lord, we remember the Allison family today. We pray, Lord, for Mrs. Allison and Hannah and the gracious God, the family circle. Oh, Lord, we thank thee even yesterday for that funeral of our brother, that there was sound at the note of triumph. And, oh, gracious God, we thank thee that thy servant has completed his labors here. He has been received into the kingdom of heaven and received the well done of God. And so, Lord, we pray that thou would bless that family circle there in Greenville. Lord, remember all our sister congregations. We ask thee, Lord, to send us a breath of revival. Lord, bless our brother, Mr. Fraser, this morning in Port Hope. Pray, our God, thou will give him help to preach the word. So, our God, be with us now throughout this morning, indeed, Lord, throughout this day. And we pray, Lord, that in all things, the name and the work and the person of the Lord Jesus will be glorified. Bless the minister of the church. Be with Dr. Saunders today and his labors and all that he has to do. We pray, our God, that thou would do him good. So, our God, abide with us now and help us, Lord, to worship and praise thee out of a full and out of a thankful heart. We ask all these things in the Savior's name and for his glory. Amen. I'm going to sing a hymn now to the Lord's praise. It's the hymn number 137. And of all the hymns that are in our hymn book, I think this is maybe my favorite. Isaac Watts wonderful, wonderful hymn. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. 137 is the hymn number. We'll stand once again to worship the Lord with our praise. If you have your Bible with you this morning, we're turning in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 27. I have in my own church in Port Hope been conducting a series on the lesser knowns that we meet with in God's Word. We want to look at one of those lesser knowns today. So we're turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and we'll commence our reading at verse 11. Matthew 27 and verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And they answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? And he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the throne of on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered, said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Then Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts and be pleased to speak to us this morning from this portion of Scripture. Well, we bid everyone welcome the Savior's precious name this Lord's Day morning. We trust the Lord will meet with us today around the Word. We also welcome those who have joined us on sermon audio through the webcast, and trust that God will bless you wherever you are. And I do bring you greetings from my congregation there in Port Hope, and trust that, and thank you also for your many prayers and support over the years as we've labored for the Lord there in Port Hope. We trust the Lord will bless Mr. Fraser as he brings the word to the folk there this morning. Now, the following are the announcements as the meetings will take place in the will of the Lord. And first of all, we do ask you to continue to remember the Allison family. God's servant, Dr. Mark Allison, went home to be with the Lord last Monday. Funeral was held yesterday. As we said in my opening prayer, it was a funeral with some difference than that. It was certainly the note of victory. Of course, when you die in the Lord, you die in victory. And we just ask you to remember Mrs. Allison and their daughter Hannah, who spoke tremendously well yesterday at her father's funeral. So do remember the Allison family at this time. And for today and then coming week, we have the pre-service prayer meeting today at 5:50, and it'll be held on Zoom. Evening gospel service at 6:30. A good brother, Mr. James Fraser, will be ministering the word. Wednesday is our midweek prayer meeting, Bible study, and that'll be conducted by another one of the elders here, Mr. George Robinson. Next Lord's Day, morning and evening services at the regular time, and your own minister, Dr. Larry Saunders, will be ministering the word. A few other announcements. The next episode of Behind the Wall will be available on sermon audio this afternoon at 2 p.m. I know my wife always tunes into that. She always likes to listen and to watch it. So that's 2 o'clock this afternoon. Advance announcement. Next meeting for the Free Presbyterian Church Connect group will be Saturday, May 15th. And the one who will be speaking will be Dr. Stephen Pollock, minister of our church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. I believe these are all the announcements. We're now going to sing another hymn. We're turning to the hymn number 288. Again, another hymn by another great, mighty man of God, Horatius Bonner. I hear the words of love, I gaze upon the blood, I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. 288, let us once again stand as we sing. Now would you turn with me, please, to the portion of Scripture we read? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. My subject for this morning is a wife's word of warning. So it'll not be too hard for you to decide what the text of Scripture is. A wife's word of warning. Before we look into God's word, let us unite once again around the throne of grace and prayer. Let us pray. Oh dear Lord and loving God, we thank thee that thou art our God. We thank thee thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our Savior, our kinsman redeemer, And, O Lord, in his name, we ask for thy blessing, Lord, to be upon our service this morning. And, O Lord, upon the preaching of the word. Lord, I pray that thou will speak to individuals today and grant that even this day some soul somewhere will be saved by the grace of God. Dear Lord, I ask now that thou would grant unto me the help, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that we might be enabled, Lord, to preach the word. And in preaching the word, I will always preach Christ. Always speak well of him, his finished work, and his shed blood. We ask all these things in the Lord's name and for his glory alone. Amen. A wife's word of warning is found there in the verse 19, Matthew 27. When he, that is Pilate, was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things. This day in a dream, because of him." Pilate's wife rises up before us out of a single sentence here in Matthew's gospel. Her name is not found in any of the other three gospels. We see the governor's wife, but for a moment. We, as it were, hear her only for a moment. But in the space of that short moment of time, she leaves her footprint on the page of this Gospel of Matthew. It means that as long as Matthew's Gospel is read and preached from, Pilate's wife will be mentioned, albeit briefly. And what Pilate's wife said that Passover morning will be held in remembrance until the honor of her name. For that morning she said to her husband, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man," referring to Christ, "with that just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream this day because of him." No, her name is not given. And even if it was, the words she spoke would be remembered long after her name would be forgotten. The words that came from another man's wife were words which would have been better never spoken at all. Remember what Job's wife said to her husband, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" And she went on to say, "Curse God and die." Job 2, verse 9. But what a contrast in the words uttered by these two wives. We want to consider this wife today, Pilate's wife. And what Pilate's wife said tells us something about this woman. So let us consider Pilate's wife. Let us consider a wife's word of warning. First of all, I want us to look at the wife of Pilate. The wife of Pilate. The wise man Solomon informs us, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Proverbs 18, verse 22. And whatever else Pilate's wife was, she certainly proved her worth when she sent that message to her husband, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream this day because of him." And we think of this message that she gave to her husband speaks to us, first of all, of her bravery. Her bravery. For they couldn't wait to destroy him. They couldn't wait to see him put to death, as we see from verse 1. "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders and the people took counsel together to put him to death. And so they bound him like a helpless lamb and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." Verse 2. There was only one decision that the chief priests and the elders of the people wanted to hear. There was only one verdict: guilty as charged. That's all they wanted to hear from the lips of Pilate. And they wanted the sentence of death to be passed upon God's Son. But Pilate knew that the one who stood before him was an innocent man. He knew that. That's what he said. Over in John's Gospel, in the chapter 18, and there in verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." And then he repeated those words, John 19 and verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Again, verse 6, at the end of verse 6, Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Three times, Pilate made it clear that he found no fault in Christ, in the one who stood before him. So what was he to do? Was he going to crucify and put to death an innocent man, one whom he knew was innocent? What was he going to do? Indeed, he asked himself that question. "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" But another word was sounded in his ears that day. As well as hearing the words of the crowd, "Let him be crucified," another word came to him that day, that morning. His wife bravely called upon him to have nothing to do with that just man. "Don't raise your hand against him. Don't point an accusing finger at him. This, of course, went completely against the chant of the mob. Crucify, 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 crucify. That's all they were interested in. Crucify the stranger of Galilee. As well as her bravery, we notice her boldness. Look at the words of Pilate's wife regarding her dream. Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Of him. Notice how she described him. She described him as a just man. She's speaking about Christ. And here's Pilate's wife. And Pilate's wife, the wife of the governor, said, have thou nothing to do, husband, with that just man? The word just, as you might know, can be rendered righteous. Have thou nothing to do with that righteous man? The dear Lord stood there alone in that judgment hall before Pilate. And there was no one to defend him. And there was no one to stand by him. He stood there alone. He'd been accused of blasphemy. And we say then, where was Pilate's, or where was Peter's voice? Silent. Where were the voices of James and John and Andrew? They were all silent. No one to stand up for him. No one to defend him. No one to declare him to be innocent of all charges. No one. No one. But the wife of Pilate. Not amazing. Not one of his followers. Not one of his friends. Not one of his family. No one to stand there and defend him. No one. But the wife of the governor, Pilate. Have thou nothing to do with that just man, that righteous man. The only voice that was heard that day in the judgment hall in defense of Christ was Pilate's wife. Have thou nothing to do with that righteous man, that righteous man. Whatever the scribes, whatever the Pharisees and the chief priests of the people said about him, Pilate's wife said, I saw in a dream a just man. I dreamt about a just man. I dreamt about a righteous man. Husband, have thou nothing to do with that just man. Speaks to us of her boldness, does it not? That in the face of such opposition, and all who cried out to condemn Christ and have him destroyed and have him crucified, there was one voice, who defended him. Pilate's wife. And there he stood, a reproach of men and despised of the people. There he stood, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and they shake the head. There he stands, that solitary figure, lonely as a sparrow on the housetop. The religious dogs have compassed him. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed him. The hounds of hell have surrounded him. And there's only one voice to be heard in his defense, Pilate's wife. It is the voice of a woman, the wife of Pilate, the governor, the man who would soon pass sentence and declare a verdict against the one who is the King of the Jews. And only one voice was heard in support, Pilate's wife. As well as her bravery and her boldness, we notice her bond. Her bond, whatever type of a man Pilate was, a wicked, murderous, ungodly individual, it appears from the words his wife uttered that she loved him and she cared about him. She evidently wanted him to do the right thing, make the right decision as he sat down on the judgment seat. No doubt he was a man who was hated by many, but the message he received that morning from his wife showed him somebody loved him. Somebody loved him. And that somebody was his wife. Faithful, devoted, courageous, she would, if possible, keep her husband back from the great transgression, from making the worst decision of his life, condemning Jesus Christ to death. She sent that message to him. Husband, have thou nothing to do with that just man, that righteous man, for I have suffered many things in the dream this day because of him. Have thou nothing to do with him. It's evident she cared about her husband. And again, as Solomon has said about a wife's love for her husband, he said, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Proverbs 31, verse 12. No one did more good that morning in the judgment hall of Pilate. No one did more good and Pilate's wife. For she said, have thou nothing to do with that just man, that righteous man. Lay not a hand upon him. Point not an accusing finger at him. Choose your words well as you pass your verdict upon him. Isn't it because we love them that we tell those who are nearest and dearest to us to do the right thing regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it because we love them? We cannot be silent and then one day to hear them accuse us when all nations stand before God and they point a finger at us. and say, "Husband, wife, you never told me." To have children stand there on the day of judgment and say, "Mother, father, you never told me. I thought you loved me. I thought you cared. But you never told me to do what was right regarding the Lord Jesus Christ." I don't know where Pilate's wife will stand on the great judgment day. But Pilate will not be able to point an accusing finger at his wife and say, "Wife, you never told me. You never warned me." No. She warned them, all right. "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." They've considered the wife of Pilate. Next, we look at the warning for Pilate. In her message to her husband, Pilate's wife told him about a dream that she had. "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Obviously, she remembered the dream. Don't know about you, but whenever I dream something, by the time the sun comes up, it has evaporated. Can't remember it. But this woman remembered her dream. And she had to tell her husband about the dream she had. This woman felt compelled. This wife felt compelled to tell her husband. Notice the time. The time. It's interesting to note when Pilate's wife had this dream and when she told it to her husband. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him. And so Pilate had barely taken his place on the judgment seat, and he receives word from his wife. And the word was, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream this day because of him." Before he made a judgment and passed sentence upon the one who was standing before him, a very timely word was delivered unto him from his wife. Could have been better timed. There you have the providence of God. There you have the grace of God. There you have the mercy of God. There you have the Lord putting a barrier across the pathway of Pilate. He would soon be making a decision. About Christ, just as he had said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" It wouldn't be too long before he would decide what he was going to do. But before he made that decision, before he decided what he was going to do, he got a word from his wife. "Have thou nothing to do with that just man." Think of it. Pilate must trample underfoot The words of a loving and a loyal wife. He must trample underfoot those words if he decides against Christ. Think of that. The woman who showed him love that morning, that Passover morning, when in love she told her husband, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" For Pilate to decide against Christ, he had to trample underfoot the words of warning from a loving wife. He was about to make a decision that would determine his eternity. And so God caused his wife to dream. That in turn prompted her to go and tell her husband, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Let Pilate reject and trample underfoot the words of his wife. And I tell you something. Pilate's condemnation would be greater. Would be greater. As well as the time, you have the terror. We're not told exactly what Pilate's wife dreamed, but it certainly struck terror into her heart. She said, "I have suffered many things. I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." That word suffered. The word suffered means endured. It means experienced. That tells us she felt what she was dreaming. It affected her deeply, deeply. It must have. She didn't cast it to one side as perhaps she had done with other dreams that she may have had. No. She made it her business when she awoke that morning to get the message to her husband, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered, I have experienced, I have endured many things this day in a dream because of him." What was it? What was it that she endured? What did she experience in that dream? Well, it obviously involved the Lord Jesus. Because she said, "I've suffered many things in the dream this day because of him, Christ." And what she suffered in her dream was because of the Lord Jesus. It's interesting, that phrase. Suffered many things. I find that phrase repeated a number of times. We find over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and there in verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." You find those words, that phrase, repeated again and again. The Lord Jesus speaking about what he must suffer, and he said he must suffer many things. And here we have Pilate's wife And what did she say to her husband? I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Is that what she dreamt? Is that what she dreamt about? What Christ would suffer many things. And did she see her husband playing his part in the sufferings of Christ? Is that why she came and said, Husband, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things. This night, or this day in a dream, because of him. Did she see her husband in her dream playing his part in the sufferings of Christ? I have suffered many things. And the Son of God said he must suffer many things. Did she see it all unfold before her eyes ere in that dream? Because she was dreaming about Christ, not what she said, because of him. And in that dream, did she see the dear Son of God, that just man, that righteous man, that man who's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners? Did she see him suffer many things in her dream? And did she see Pilate, her husband's hand, had his hand in it? Is that what she dreamt? Is that why she said, Husband, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered, endured, experienced many things in a dream this day because of him. As well as the time and the terror, we notice her telling what she dreamt that day. She must tell her husband. She must warn him. And she did so with those words, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. You think of it. There he sits in the judgment seat. And Pilate could have no better person to sound a warning in his ears than his own wife. The woman he had married, his wife, sent that message to her husband. And you would think, well, if Pilate's going to listen to anybody, he'll listen to his wife. He would know. He would know the fact that she got that word to him so early in the morning. He would know his wife was sincere in what she was telling him. His wife was serious about the matter she was telling him about. Surely he would give attention and would heed the warning given to him by his own wife. How often have those words of warning been told over and over again by wives to their husbands, by wives by husbands to their wives, by parents to their children? They have told those. You've told them. Maybe not often enough. But you've told them. Those whom you love. You've told them, choose Christ. Don't raise a hand against him. Don't turn your back upon him. Don't turn a deaf ear to him. Cry out to him, Lord, save me. Now you would think, of all the people they would listen to, you would think that of all the people they would listen to would be those who are nearest and dearest to them and those who are nearest their heart. Those who prayed over them. And prayed over them the most. Those who wept over them. And wept over them the most. Those who pleaded with them. And pleaded with them the most. And if they won't listen to and heed the exhortations of the preacher, surely they would listen to those who have them nearest their heart. And out there somewhere, are we speaking to someone and you know what I'm talking about? When I was minister in Newton Abbey, there's a great wee woman there called Mrs. Craig. She had a one only son. He wasn't saved. And whenever I'd go to visit Mrs. Craig, I hardly mentioned her son's name. And Mrs. Craig would burst out tears. She loved her son. But her son wasn't saved. And boy, was that dear lady burdened for her only son. And you would think that if her son wouldn't listen to the preacher or wouldn't listen to Christian friends, well, you would think he would listen to his mother. Because he would have to trample underfoot the prayers and the tears and the pleadings of a mother who loved him. Likewise, Pilate. He evidently had a wife who loved him. And for Pilate to pass sentence on Christ, to have him crucified, he had to trample underfoot the words of his wife. And they were words of love. Don't know how often, if ever, his wife told Pilate, her husband, that she loved him. But she told him she loved him that morning. She sent that message to him. Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. She's telling him, husband, I love you. So we have the wife of Pilate and the warning for Pilate. Then we see the way of Pilate. His wife had spoken. She had given him the warning. What would he do now with Jesus, which is called Christ? I see, first of all, his deafness. His wife had spoken, but no word is heard coming from the lips of Pilate. He didn't even answer. It was as if he didn't hear and he didn't want to hear. He did what many have done, turned a deaf ear to the pleading of a loved one, turned a deaf ear to the preaching of the gospel. Oh yes, Pilate heard other voices. Heard the voices of the chief priests and elders. There in verse 20 and 21, heard their voices all right. He answered the cry of the mob, but turned a deaf ear to the pleadings of his wife. She said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Listen, no. He didn't answer his wife, but he answered the chief priest and the elders. His wife had suffered many things, but Pilate offered no sympathy. None. Zero. She had suffered many things, but he answered her nothing. Isn't it sad that the unsaved, show no sympathy? For those who love them, and those who suffer for them. The burden they carry, the tears they have shed, the anxiety they suffer, the worry. And sadly, for many, an unsaved soul, they count those things as nothing. Nothing. Well, it appears that Pilate did not give a second thought to the words of his wife, faithfully delivered him by her. He may have turned a deaf ear to what his wife said that morning. That's over 2,000 years ago. You know something? Pilate has heard those words for the past 2,000 years. For he's now in that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And those words he heard that morning in the judgment hall, Pilate has heard them for the past 2,000 years. And that's only the beginning. Those words have echoed and re-echoed throughout the caverns of the lost world. And oh, how Pilate, I know, wishes he had heeded the words of his wife. And he'll hear those words, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." And he'll hear them for all eternity, echoing and re-echoing throughout the eons of eternity. He'll be wishing he had paid attention to the warning word of his wife. He may have turned a deaf ear to what his wife said. But he can hear well now, for he hears those words repeated 10,000 times, 10,000 times in eternity. As well as his deafness, you have his decision. He tried to avoid making a decision about Christ. For in verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, "Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." He was hoping that they would say, "Well, release the innocent man." He was hoping they would say, "Relief Christ." But no. They chose a murderer. Man who was a murderer in an insurrection. They wanted him released. And they wanted Christ crucified. Next, he said, next Pilate said, "But what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" I tell you, if we could address Pilate, if Pilate was before us today, and we could address him, and he says, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" We know what we would tell him. We would tell him, "Pilate, heed the words of your wife. Take to heart the warning words of your wife. Do the right thing." That's what we would tell them. Well, his wife did tell him. And so what did he do? He trampled underfoot the words of a woman he married. He put no value to the words of the woman who was his wife. He dismissed the warning that came from the best friend he had, his wife. He had no better friend than his wife that day. And he made his decision. In verse 24, then Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made. And he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, said, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Do you notice something there? Do you notice something? What did Pilate's wife say? "I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of this man, this just man." And lo and behold, here's Pilate, and he wipes his hands, he washes his hands, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man." I tell you something. That increases Pilate's condemnation. His wife had told him, "Have nothing to do with that just man." And here he washes his hands and says, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." The very thing his wife had said about Christ. That made it worse for Pilate. Far worse. And there he stands, washing his hands. I tell you, all the water in 1,000 oceans would never wash away the guilt or the sin that Pilate committed that day. He would rather obey the crowd and not his wife. He thought more of his position than his partner. He valued more the cry of the crowd, "Let him be crucified," than the words of his own wife, who told him, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." And as I said, all the water in a thousand oceans could not wash away that crime and that sin that he committed that morning. His deafness, his decision, his doom. He may have received the applause of the crowd. He may have got a slap on the back for the decision that he made. But what is the well done of men when you decide against Christ? When you reject that just man? Well, he was told, he was warned, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" For Pilate, that just man. For Pilate, that just man now has nothing to do with Pilate. Pilate wanted nothing to do with Christ. Oh, Christ has nothing to do with Pilate now. He's lost. He's sealed his hopeless doom when he gave no heed to a wife's word of warning. And as I said before, he hears those words today, tomorrow, next day, next year, next century, for all eternity. He had trampled underfoot a word of warning from a faithful wife. I trust that someone somewhere will not turn a deaf ear to all the warnings they've been given by those who love them and have them in their heart. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, dear Lord, we think of the solemnity of the hour. And that word of warning that was given to Pilate. And Lord, that word of warning has been given to many ever since that day in the judgment hall. Many a husband, many a wife, many a son, many a daughter has been given a word of warning. Raise not your hand against Christ. Do not decide against him, but rather cry out, "Lord Jesus, save me. I hear the warning voice. I'll make the Lord my final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice. I want to be in time." Dear Lord, be with us throughout this day and Keep thy good hand upon us all. Keep us all healthy and well and safe. And those that are led aside, thou knowest them. Lord, be pleased to put thy healing hand upon them. Bless our brother Sammy and the treatment that he's receiving. Give him grace, Lord, for each day. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.